Well, it's good to see you on this Mother's Day Sunday, May the 10th, 2026. And today, we're going to be in lesson number 12. Again, we're looking at, in the beginning was the Word, this series of lessons out of the book of John. And today, we continue the lesson where we started last Sunday. John chapter 18, going into John chapter 19. The title of the lesson is, again, The Arrest, Trials, and Death of Jesus. And last week, we looked at Jesus' arrest. We got into the lesson, and we looked at that. And I think that the lesson itself just, man, when you think about what all Christ went through so that you and I could have eternal life, salvation, I'm thankful for what He did for me. Amen? I am so thankful for what He did. We looked at all of that. Then we got into the appearances of Jesus before the authorities. We looked at that section last week, how that He was brought before Annas, and then He was brought before Caiaphas, and then we looked at Peter's denial. And you know, Peter was the one that said, hey, I'll never deny you, Lord, I'll never deny you. Though everybody else fails you and everybody else falls away, I'll not do that. And boy, we make those promises sometimes too, don't we? And yet we fail. Yet we fall aside sometimes and we deny our Savior. And you know, I don't want to think that Peter was any worse off than I am, because he wasn't. He's made of the same flesh that each of us are made. And each of us will probably been in the same situation. I heard somebody telling about Adam. You know, Adam, the first man God created. And they said, boy, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have eaten that fruit. I said, yes, you would. Yes, you would. You'd have been just like me and everybody else. What you can't have, that's what you want. Amen? And that's exactly what Adam did. But Adam ate that fruit. He brought sin into this world. And you know what? Peter denied the Lord Jesus. And sadly, we've all done that at some point in our life. We've all denied Him. But you know what? I'm glad to know that Jesus still cared for Peter. And He cares for you today. Amen? And so we looked at that. We saw how He was brought again. He's brought before Annas. And then He was brought into the courtroom there. This week, we're going to look at Pilate's questions about the Jewish accusations. And here in John chapter number 18, we're going to begin in verse number 28. We're going to go down through John chapter 19, verse 16. And this is Jesus' appearance before Pilate. I remember a little girl, she was to draw a picture of the crucifixion and of Jesus being there. And she drew Jesus on the cross, and the two thieves, one on each side of her, of Jesus. And then she drew an airplane up in the sky. She drew an airplane. And the teacher asked her, he said, well, what in the world? I understand your picture here. Here's Jesus, and there's a thief that denied Jesus, and here's a thief that accepted Jesus, but I don't understand this airplane up in the sky. What have you got an airplane flying over the cross for? And she said, well, teacher, didn't you read the Bible? That's Pontius Pilate. It's a different Pilate, okay? All right? But today we're going to look at this man who knew, I believe in my heart, Pilate knew who Jesus was. I believe that we never read in the Bible how that he came to know Christ. He did not accept Him. And Jewish tradition says that not long after Jesus was crucified and arose again, that Pilate went crazy. He lost his mind. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but all through the night that Jesus had been taken by the Jews, the Jews raised all sorts of accusations against Him. They brought Him and they stood Him before Annas, then before Caiaphas, but to no avail. And finally, they now make their appeal to Pilate, the governor of Judea, to have Jesus put to death. Now, a lot of things were happening that night. And all that night, he was tired. He was distressed. He was beaten. He was mocked and ridiculed. But here, beginning in John chapter 18 and verse 28, the Bible said, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." You see how religiously lost they were? They're there to do away with the Son of God, and yet they want to go and partake of the Passover that represents the Lamb of God that had come to save the world from their sin. And we see now how these Jews were still concerned in maintaining their outward religious pure status among the people, while inwardly, they were still plotting to put Jesus to death by the hands of Pilate. Now, the Jews could not put someone to death. That was not in their authority to do that. But they wanted to do everything they could do to convince Pilate to put Jesus to death so they'd be rid of this man. And in verse number 29, the Bible said, "Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man?" And in verse 30, the Jews, in a very, very disrespectful manner to Pilate, they replied, "Well, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Now, they said that to the governor. That shows you how wretched they were in their thinking, how wicked they were. They had no respect for anyone in authority. All they wanted was to use Pilate's authority for their advantage against Jesus. Boy, it's a sad situation, isn't it? And you know, it's interesting to note here, too, that these Jewish leaders called Jesus a malefactor, a sinner, one that had broken the laws, meaning, according to Webster's dictionary, this word malefactor means one who commits a crime, one guilty of violating the laws in such a manner as to subject him to public prosecution and punishment, particularly to capital punishment, a criminal. That's how Webster defines that word malefactor. And they accused Jesus of being a criminal, one who had broken the laws. Jesus didn't come to break the law. He came to fulfill the law. Amen? And that's what his purpose was. And isn't it strange that they did not see themselves as malefactors? They never saw themselves as being sinners. And folks, let me say this. And I don't say this disrespectfully toward anybody. I say this to myself, to you as well. But you couldn't be a child of God today unless you realized that you were a sinner. Until a person sees their need of a Savior, until they see themselves as a sinner, they'll never see themselves in need of a Savior. And these folks, they didn't think they needed a Savior. Oh, they had the law. They were pure in their own manner. They observed all the ordinances and all the traditions of their fathers before them. And yet, they would not admit the fact that they were, in fact, sinners. They accused Jesus of this, but they did not see it for themselves. But you know, the thing about it was, Pilate was not interested in getting involved with these accusations of the Jewish leaders against this man, Jesus. Therefore, in verse number 31, the Bible said, Pilate looked at him, he said, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." Pilate didn't like the Jews any more than the Jews liked Pilate. The Romans didn't like the Jews. The Jews didn't like the Romans. And he said, "Hey, you take him. You judge him according to your law. If he's done something wrong, then you take care of it." And he was trying to free himself of any kind of responsibility in that matter or any judgments against this man, Jesus. But I want you to notice then in that same verse the real intent of these Jewish leaders. And we see it here in this verse 31. And their leader, the leaders here, the Jewish leaders, made quite clear to Pilate what their intent was. Look what it said. they responded and they said, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Now that's what they wanted. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. They wanted to get rid of this blasphemer. They wanted to get rid of this malefactor. But they didn't have the authority to do it. So they brought him to Pilate. Now Pilate knows exactly why this man has been brought before him. They want him. They want Pilate to be the big stick. And look at this. Pilate now knew that the Jews wanted him to do their dirty work. So, again, in verse number 32, we see that all this was still in God's plan. You say, how could all this be in God's plan? Because God so loved the world. He didn't want any of us. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God said in His Word, in the Old Testament Scriptures, exactly how the Savior would die, when He would die, and at whose hands He would die. And all that was happening here was that the Scriptures were being fulfilled. That's what tells me that I've got a Savior today, amen? No other person in this world has ever been able to fulfill the Scriptures like Jesus. Jesus came to suffer and to bleed and to die. And here in verse number 32, we see that all this was in God's plan for His Son. When John recorded that all this was done, look at what it said. All this was done that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which He spake, signifying what death He should die. Jesus knew how He was going to die, but He went to the cross anyway. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that today? I want you to turn over to the book of Matthew just a moment. Matthew chapter 20. I want you to see something today. Matthew chapter number 20. I want you to look at what Jesus said in verses 18 and 19. Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. Jesus said, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the who? To the Gentiles. These are the Romans. To mock and to scourge and to crucify Him. And the third day He shall rise again. You see, nothing took our Savior by surprise. He knew what He was facing. He knew why He had come into this earth. He knew what His purpose was, folks. And His purpose was for you and me to be purchased, to be redeemed, to be bought by the precious blood that He would shed for us on the cross of Calvary. That's why the writer of the book of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, he said, looking unto Jesus, there's no other one to look to today. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, we need to keep our eyes on the One who kept His eyes on us. Why did He go to the cross? Because you were on His heart, you were on His mind, I was on His mind. He endured the cross for the joy of knowing that you and I would be with Him one day through what He was doing for us. You talk about love, amen? What a day of love that Jesus showed for the people. Now I want you to look at verses 33 through 38, where Pilate now questions Jesus. Pilate now says, hey, I've got to ask this man what's going on here. And Pilate here questions Jesus about his kingship. He questions Jesus about his kingship. Now, no doubt, there's no doubt in my mind that these Jewish leaders had told Pilate that Jesus was proclaiming to be the King of the Jews. And to Pilate, that was trouble. So Pilate comes to Jesus in verse 33 and he said, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And Jesus in turn asked Pilate in verse 34, he said, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me?" He asked him a question. Are you saying this, or do you know this to be a fact, or did somebody just tell you that? And Jesus' answer to Pilate was kind of straightforward. But Pilate answers Jesus in verse number 35, and he says, "Am I a Jew?" You know, it was looked down on to be a Jew. The Romans hated them. He said, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And Jesus' answer to Pilate was straightforward and to the point. Look at verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." He said, "My kingdom's not here. My kingdom's there." And you know what? Pilate didn't understand Jesus' question. And look at verse 37. He asked him again, "Art thou a king then?" To which Jesus replies, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now I want you to notice what Jesus told them. He told them about the truth. And folks, the truth is what people are denying today. The truth of God's word is what people are turning aside today. They don't like truth. And here again, Jesus acknowledged the fact that he is the King of the Jews. He is king. And he had come into this world to bear witness of the truth of God. He came to show the people God in the flesh. That everyone that had seen his miracles and heard his words knew that he spoke the truth. And that those who would choose to believe on him and receive him as their Savior, they would be born again. You know, I'm glad I did that. March the 28th, 1975, as a 15 and a half year old boy, this past Thursday, we've been praying for Sophia. She's got about less than 10 days now left of school. Five of which are just half days. They come in for half the day and then go home. And I had the privilege to preach in chapel Thursday morning. Pastor Josh had some things he had to get done, and he asked me about it Thursday evening late and said, "I forgot all about it. Would you mind," or Wednesday evening late, and he said, "Would you mind preaching for me in chapel?" I said, "Chapel service, like Thursday morning, 9 a.m.? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, thank you for letting me know in time, okay? All right, it's the day before, all right?" And so I went home, I was praying that night, and I thought, "Lord, what would you have me to preach?" And I thought, you know what, I may not get another chance to preach to these young people. So I just want to share with them the gospel. I want to share with them what Christ has done for them and why he has them here in this Christian school. He's got them here for a purpose. To hear the message of the gospel. And so I gave the message. I gave the gospel. Many young people raised their hands saying they had already accepted Christ as their Savior. But many did not. There were many that did not yet raise their hand. And when I asked and gave the invitation of how many would be willing to accept Christ, no one raised their hand. And my heart was kind of discouraged. And I thought about it all day. And I looked and I thought, well, man, I was really praying and hoping that maybe even Sophia would see her need, you know, of the Savior. And we've been trying to talk to her about it. And praying for and just praying that God's word and the Holy Spirit would speak to her heart. So she came in 3:15 Thursday, ready to go home. I said, okay, well, let's head on to the house. And Lisa had been at the doctor that morning, and she was at home. And as I was driving down to the house, coming up 27, the Lord just spoke to my heart, and I said, I need to find out. I don't want her to leave here not knowing Christ as her Savior. And so I asked her, I said, Sophia, honey, let me ask you a question. She said, okay. I said, did you understand the message that I preached today in chapel service? Oh, yes, I understood. I said, you understood what I was talking about salvation and why God's brought these young people to the Christian school so they could be able to hear the gospel and hopefully be saved one day. Oh, yeah, I understood. I said, well, that's good. Okay, I was just wondering because I wasn't sure. I said, have you been thinking about that? Yeah, I've been thinking about it. And I said, well, did you ask the Lord to come into your heart? She said, no, I didn't do that. And I got thinking back to when I was a 15-year-old boy in Bible school and in Sunday school, and the preacher gave the invitation, or the vacation Bible school teacher gave the invitation. And I knew I needed to be saved, and I just hung on to the pew because I was afraid of what the other kids would say. You know, I was afraid of what everybody else would say. I was afraid of what my parents would say. I was afraid, and I didn't make the decision. I just didn't do it. And that thought went through my mind. And I thought, well, Lord, maybe she's just been fearful because of coming out of communist China. There's a lot to be fearful about. And so I asked her. We were getting right up to 482 there at the stoplights. And I asked her, I said, Sophia, honey, let me ask you this. You understand about being a sinner, right? Oh, yes, yes. And I said, do you understand that you're a sinner? Yes. I said, okay. I said, so if you died without Jesus as your Savior, you do understand that you'd have to go to hell if you died, right? She said, yes. And I said, well, and you've never asked the Lord Jesus come in your heart yet? No, no. I said, well, would you like to? I mean, wouldn't you like to ask the Lord to come in your heart and save you? If you understand that you're lost. You understand you're going to go to hell. You understand Jesus paid the price. Wouldn't you like to ask the Lord Jesus to come in your heart? She said, yeah. And I said, hang on. And I put the pedal to the metal. We drove into the driveway, raised the garage door, set the garage. I said, Sophia, honey, if you would like to ask the Lord to come into your heart today, would you be willing to let me just pray for you just a minute and then you could ask him to come in your heart? She put her little books away and she said, sure. And right there in the garage, she bowed her head and she asked Christ to come in her heart and save her. I said, Sophia, do you understand that this is why your mother sent you here to America? She looked at me, she said, really? I said, yes, you are not supposed to be here with us. We had already told everybody, we're not taking any more students. We're done. We just want to be alone, okay? We've raised our kids. We don't need any more. I said, and your mother called us, begging us to please help her get you out of communist China so that you could be able to come and hear the gospel just like your brother did and like the other Chinese kids that lived with us heard the gospel and got saved. She said, really? I said, this is why God brought you here. I said, you know, the Bible says that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I said, you really need to call and let your mom know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. She said, okay, I'll do that. And I said, y'all tell Miss Shutt when you go in too. Okay. And she beat me in the house. And she went in, and I got ready to take Precious outside, and I said, wait a minute. Lisa, honey, come here a minute. And she was downstairs working on her stuff. She came upstairs, and I said, Sophia needs to talk to you about something. She said, really, is there a problem? I said, well, I'll let her tell you. And I just left it. And I went in there. I said, okay, here she is. And she said, what's the matter? What's going on? And she said, I got saved now. And Lisa said, you got saved? She said, uh-huh, in the garage. And she said, really? She said, yes, I got saved. And man, they were hugging and carrying on and all this stuff. And you know, it's thrilled my heart to think that this was what God had in store for whosoever would be willing to call upon Him and be saved. He went to the cross for them. And folks, it's for that reason that Jesus looked beyond the shame. He despised the shame that was about to come upon Him. But He did it for you, and He did it for me. And folks, when I look at this story, it just thrills my heart to know that God would love me that much. Now, Jesus, again, acknowledged here that He was the King. He was coming to this world for a purpose. And you were that purpose. I was that purpose. But perhaps because of the hypocritical actions and the deceitful teachings by those Jewish religious leaders, folks didn't respond to Jesus the way they should have. And now Pilate, Jesus talking about truth, and Pilate looks at Jesus and he asks a question. And he says, what is truth? You know, the world is searching for truth today. But very few want to accept truth today. They know the devil's got all kinds of lies out there. They know that whatever they're doing is not satisfying that empty void that's in their heart. But they don't know where to turn. And that's why you and I need to take to them the message of truth today. That God so loved the world and gave Himself for them. And almost in discouragement, that could only be eliminated by knowing the truth. Verse 38, Pilate then said, the Bible says here, Pilate then went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in Him no fault at all. Now, this is coming from a lost man. He's questioning, what is truth? And he looks at Jesus and said, there's no fault in this man. There's nothing I can find that he's ever done wrong. That's my sinless Savior, amen? The perfect Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. But I want you to look at verses 38 through 40. Pilate here asks the Jews about releasing Jesus. Pilate says, hey, I find no fault in Him. He's free to go. In verse 39, Pilate offers the Jews a compromise, so to speak. A compromise. And he reminds them, he says, ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? And he's thinking, yeah, they're going to do this. They're going to let him go and I'll be free and not have a problem. But to which answer is just amazing. These Jewish leaders, and they'd grown into a hate mob now, and the mob had grown bigger, and they were just one thought in mind. Do away with this Jesus. And look what the Bible said here in verse 39. He said, not this man, but Barabbas. And look what the Bible said. Now Barabbas was a robber. They would rather have a known thief, a robber, a malefactor released unto them than the sinless Lamb of God. Kind of sounds like our world today, isn't it? Forget about the citizens. We want to let all these other guys. And then we have judges today that apologize to somebody that tried to kill the president and the vice president. And the judge apologizes because he was all by himself in jail. Oh, bless his heart. He was on suicide watch. Folks, people's hearts have not changed. The same hatred for truth then is the same hatred we see today for truth. And folks, look at this. Isn't it sad that the world was willing to trade anything they wanted for Jesus? Can you imagine trading a robber, a thief, a known malefactor for the sinless Lamb of God? I don't know about you, but I'd rather have Jesus, as the old song says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen? So now, beginning in chapter 19, Pilate again offers the Jews a compromise. He didn't want to put Jesus to death. So it said here in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. Yeah. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these thorn things that they've got. Brother Rob, I don't know if you can get out there or not. Would you walk in my office right there, and beside my chair, there is a bush of those thorns. I brought some of these back. And these are not little rose thorns, but these are Jewish thorns. It's in my office. It's locked. Come here and get a key. There you go, brother. I'm sorry. My wife is trying to protect her candy, I guess. I don't know. Bless her heart. Y'all pray for her now, okay? All right. But the Bible said here, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. They beat him. And they beat him to a pulp. Again, Isaiah prophesied that he wouldn't even look like a man. His visage was so marred, he didn't look like a man. And then the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! They mocked him. And then they smote him with their hands. I want you to look at these thorns just a minute. These thorns, 2-3 inches long. Now, they've all dried out. I've been thinking about putting them in water and getting them soft again so I can try to apply them into a new crown. But can you imagine the soldiers taking their sword and cutting that off and putting it together and plaiting it down on top of his head after they'd already beaten him, after they'd smitten him in the face, after they'd spit upon him. Thank you, brother. After they'd done all these things against him. And yet, the Bible said in verses 4 and 5, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. He's not worthy of having to die. There's no fault in him. We've mocked him. We've beaten him. We've spit upon him. We've stripped him down naked. We've planted a crown of thorns upon him. We've scourged him. Now we put that purple robe and a scepter in his hand, and he stands before you as your king. What do you say now, folks? The Bible said, didn't it? They then came forth Jesus wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Look upon him. Look upon your king. Look what I've done to shame him. Look what I've done to embarrass him. Surely this is enough. It's enough. I can't imagine in my mind's eye what these people must have seen after Pilate's soldiers finished with Jesus. A bloody pulp of a man standing there before them, dressed in a purple robe of dignity, holding a reed in his hand as a scepter and a crown made out of thorns with the blood dripping down through his face and his eyes, beaten to a pulp for you and for me. Isaiah said again in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14, As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And yet again, you go to chapter 53 of Isaiah, and beginning in verse number 3, the Bible said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And after Isaiah wrote all those things, he wrote in verses 10 and 11, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 and 11, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, God the Father, shall see his seed, God the Son. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now think about that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. He did it all for you and for me. And now, in chapter 19, verses 4 through 7, after Pilate has his soldiers so brutally scourge Jesus, Pilate presents Jesus to these Jews. And if you'll come back next week, I'll tell you the rest of the story. Man, what a story we have to tell. What a story. The arrest, the trial, and the death of Jesus Christ. Folks, let me remind you of something. He did it all for you and for me. Let's thank him today. Father, I love you today, Lord. And Father, I want these lessons to speak to our hearts so that we will never forget what you've done for us upon the cross of Calvary. And Lord, how my heart is grieved to think that you had to go through all of this for me. And yet, Lord, you are willing to do it all, that I might be with you one day in heaven. And Lord, for what you did for me, it deserves my all given unto you today. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, today to be thankful, God, for a Savior that would not only provide salvation, but give us a life to live it for him. Lord, help us, God, to live it before you today. Help us not to be ashamed. Bless the man of God as he stands to preach this morning. I ask you, Lord, for your power. And God, I pray, Lord, you'll help me to present the message of the gospel in all that I do and say. Thank you, God, for these dear mothers that are here today. And I pray, Lord, you'll help the lessons and the message today to be a help to them as well. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.